In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. When was the last time you were grateful for something? What was it? Think about it in your mind. Think about the feeling of gratitude. It's a vulnerable feeling. It's one that evokes everything we hold dear. I think as we face continued polarization and political turmoil in our country, and we anxiously watch the news, it's easy for a practice of gratitude to get eclipsed and worried and muted by our worries. Both gratitude and worry can cause us to feel so vulnerable because they put us in touch with what is precious to us and what we want to protect. And in that regard, they're really kind of two sides of the same coin. Today's gospel is an invitation to constantly turn toward Jesus' presence in our midst, to not flee from our vulnerability, but to let it be met by Jesus' mercy. And that's the source of where gratitude comes at its deepest level. I wonder how long the 10 people with leprosy that we hear about in today's gospel waited for some sign of hope for their lives. Because waiting is also a vulnerable thing, especially when there's no defined outcome for which you're waiting. They were just on the margins. How long had they known each other as a group? Was Jesus the first person to whom they'd called out, or was he the latest in a series of people? We don't know. All we know is that when they get word that Jesus has entered their village, they call out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And the language carries more weight here than just a simple plea for help. In fact, the word "master" that they use indicates that somehow they recognize some quality of authority in Jesus, and that he's capable of something, some intervention in their lives. The word "master" is actually most frequently used by Jesus' disciples. So these folks sense something for reasons that aren't described in detail here. But what's key is Jesus sees them and responds to them with mercy. And he tells them to show themselves to the priests. And when they did this, priests would then make sacrifices of thanksgiving to God for healing and then affirm that they could take their place in the community. And so they were brought out of isolation and out of the margins and out of the waiting and into life. And so these 10 people take Jesus at his word, and sure enough, as they leave, they are healed. There must have been this overwhelming sense of cautious hope as they began to run. And I've always been really curious about what this experience must have been like. When did they notice a renewed sense of energy? When did they notice that things didn't hurt anymore? Was it like a gradual thing? Or did it happen immediately and they just took off even faster? One way or another, one person perceived the difference and was aware of what was happening enough that he turns back around and runs towards Jesus and throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. And he understood that Jesus had restored something precious to him, not just his health, but his ability to be in relationship with others. And Jesus affirms that his faith has made him well. And I think what's important to recognize is that this one that turns back understands that running towards Jesus is not running towards the past. It's running towards how his life has changed, and it's making his connection to Jesus part of his future. We can understand the joy that drove the other 9 who had been healed to keep running. There's no condemnation here. They were free. and would much rather put the past behind them, both literally and figuratively, and run towards their future. They were doing what Jesus commanded them to do, and so they were heading towards priests that could make right sacrifice on their behalf and running in that direction, and they couldn't wait to get started. And the point is not intended to judge them as much as the whole point of this gospel is to hold up what the one sees and what the nine miss and the depth of what he gains. And then Luke's gospel gives us the final coup de grace. Somehow, this one who turns back to profusely thank Jesus is a Samaritan, or as our gospel puts it, a foreigner. At its most basic level, this story continues a theme that we see throughout the Gospels, that the ones who are despised and held in contempt recognize Jesus more quickly and respond to him more profoundly. And it corresponds to Jesus' words in the Beatitudes, where we hear him say, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." How do we cultivate this kind of recognition of Jesus' work in our lives? What do we notice about God's action in our lives, and how do we respond? Because it is so easy and so very human to be like the nine joyful people who kept on going, eager to get to the place where their healing will be recognized and their standing will be restored. In some ways, they forgot themselves in the sense that they're entirely focused on their future goal and how it should look and how it should be. And they're not fully present to what had unfolded. There was a sense of, at last, I can just finally lead the life that I've longed for that overrides everything else. But what they overlook in their haste was Jesus' mercy that was the engine driving the entire thing. Perhaps on some level they were eager to get as much distance as possible from their place of vulnerability and waiting. Certainly understandable. But without remembering the source of their healing, the nine miss a chance to deepen in faith and bring the relationship with Jesus on a deeper level into their future. And we can be the same way. When we experience an answer to prayer that delights us, or when we experience good things in some way, we can get so consumed in delighting in the gift that the giver is forgotten. And we too may want to put distance from times when we have felt vulnerable and dependent on Jesus' mercy and just focus on gaining renewed strength and moving forward, moving on. But as a result, we can miss a moment to recognize how Jesus has been present to us in those times of vulnerability. And if we forget this, we can be slower to return to the strength and the hope he offers us through life's up and downs. And we can lose an opportunity to be humble in the best sense of the word, to be in touch with the truth of ourselves, that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And turning back and acknowledging that there is a relationship of mercy at the source of all that we have received and that we bring forward with us changes things. It keeps us from just running mindlessly towards the future and forgetting Jesus' invitation to relationship. Cultivating the ability to recognize Jesus' mercy to us in our daily lives is not only important because of the gratitude that evokes, but because of the importance of remembering. Every time we gather to take communion, we participate in Eucharist or Thanksgiving, and we remember. We remember the past not as history, but as that has nothing to do with us, but history that is part of us and that we bring with us, history that gives us hope. And we need to hold on to our stories of hope for the times in our lives when we struggle and where we wonder if God loves us and when we wonder where God is in our world. And throughout Scripture, God exhorts us to remember so that we don't lose hope. And we can't do this without a sense of recognition, an ability to stop, to turn around and be present to our relationship with the merciful Jesus who extends renewal and hope to us always. Think back through these past few weeks. Perhaps this is a time that you would be glad to leave behind you. Perhaps it's a time that inspires gratitude for whatever reason. We come here with a lot of stories. Either way, we're constantly invited to see the mercy of Jesus that is always extended to us, that never comes to an end, and that never fails.